praising and worshiping God in truth and spirit. Well, I greet you all in the precious name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a privilege, it's an honor to stand here in front of you all this God-given morning. It's such a blessing in my life to be here this morning. When Tom called me and he said, like, you know, Godly, why can't you just come over and minister to our congregation? I was so surprised to hear that, and it was so blessing, you know. And when I talk about Tom, I mean, I'm not just going to, you know, exaggerate or hype on what I'm saying, but such a blessed man of God. He's, especially when he's giving out the leadership to this Love River Church, and it's such a blessing, you know, because such an humbleness in his life, you know, when he talks, and it's such a blessing to know him. And as Tom was introducing, I was here, like, it was somewhere in the last year. Yeah, I'd been to this church, and I was sitting somewhere right at the back, and you know, when I came down, and it's such a blessing to be here, and such a anointed congregation. You guys are such a blessing to. Let me quickly introduce myself. As you all know, my name is Godly John. I was born and brought up in India, as you all can see it. being more specifically, I'm from, I don't know if you know it, I'm from the southernmost state of India. It's called Kerala. It's one of the tourist destinations in India. So, in reality, the language spoken is called Malayalam. So Malayalam is, you know, technically it becomes my first language, which is my mother tongue. And then we have our official language known as Hindi. That becomes my second language. And English, that of course comes as my third language. So while I'm talking to you all in English, if you don't understand it, it's not your problem. Well, it's not my problem either. It's his problem. So I'm standing here by his grace, not being worthy enough to stand here, but God chose me. He pulled me out from the pit of darkness and showed me the true light of salvation in my life. And I'm so thankful to God for giving that privilege in my life. Quickly for the scripture today, if we could turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1 verses 6. 1 John chapter 1 verses 6. It says, I've got this King James version here, and it says that if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I repeat, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, another simplified language, it says, so we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. We are not practicing the truth. Well, guys, I'm not here to point finger at anyone or, you know, get you onto a guilt trip or not going to do that. I mean, I'm not here to do that, but I'm trusting in God. And as I'm talking to you guys, I just would like to encourage you all. I know we all come from very good families, and we've been born again Christians. We have known Christ for many years and doing this and doing that. It's just, I would like to encourage each and every one of you. While I speak these, while I get into my message today. Well, I was born into a Christian family. My parents were, you know, true Christians. They loved God and they trusted God. And that's how, well, they named me Godly. Well, Godly John. So Godly is my first name, not my last name, because it sounds as a last name, though. Well, people try to do it, you know, whenever I write like in some kind of application forms and all those places, you know, people try, oh, you might have gone wrong. It should be John Godley and not Godley John. And, you know, people try to correct that. But I say, like, you know, no, it's Godley John. So, well, again, it's not their problem. It's not. So, well, it's, you know, it's such a blessing, actually, you know, to be, you know, to know Christ. And because the word says, you know, when you know, as I said, like, my parents gave me that name, you know, one thing that we know, that our Lord, He is the one who created our inmost being, and He is the one who knitted us together in our mother's womb. And He says further, He keeps on saying this, Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine. The God says that, God of Jacob, God of Israel, He says that, do not fear, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by your name, and you are mine. Such a privilege, such a blessing. You know, when we have that kind of Father in heaven who has called us by our name, it's not by chance that you have been named something. It's not by any chance. He is the one who has named you. And there was a purpose behind it. There was a purpose behind it. Behind your creation, behind your naming, there was a big purpose. And the reason I just kind of said this, well, have we ever thought about the reason why we were born? Have we ever thought that why God created us, why He chose us, why He pulled us out from the pit of darkness, why He showed us the true light of salvation? As I said, like, I'm here to encourage and get ourselves, you know, challenged in a way, because these are the end days. These are the end times. People like me, I'm standing here, not being worthy, as I said, like, never been to a Bible college, never learned a theology, never, you know, gone through too much into the Bible doctrines or theologies. No, I've never done that. But, you know, one thing that triggered in my life, you know, I just thought, like, if God has created me, God has placed me somewhere, there's a big purpose behind it. There's a big reason behind it that I'm here. And if I'm in UK, I said, like, God, if you have brought me to this country, apart from all my materialistic blessings that I have, apart from all that I could, you know, earn, well, I'm not employed. Well, I have a beautiful wife who she works, and I'm into full-time ministry. I'm just taking up that challenge, actually, to take the word of God to many. We are reaching the lost, actually, and especially the nation where I'm from, and we are working in India and Burma and all those places. Yeah, I mean, these are the reasons. I mean, we need to understand the purpose, what we are called for. As I said, like, it was somewhere in the last year when I attended this worship, as I said, like, such an anointing and loving congregation. You know, I've been to many churches, but, you know, you could see a working church or so-called happening churches, but it's very rare. Seldom you find a loving church. A church who can really portray the love of Christ. A church who can lead a life as Jesus led His life. A church who can know Jesus. A church who is prepared. A church as a bride who is prepared to meet the groom. A church who knows the responsibility that Christ has placed. It's such a blessing to know you guys. I mean, River Church is a mission-oriented church, and it's such a blessing to be a part. And while I'm standing here, I'm so much thrilled when I'm saying this. When you look into this world around you, are you able to see a world that our Father has desired of? Are you able to see a world that He is desiring of? To whom was the responsibility given? Church, let's not get away from the fact. As I said, like, I'm not going to take you, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but let's not get away from the fact. If we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves born again, if we call ourselves the children of God, it becomes my responsibility. The scripture says it becomes my responsibility. It becomes your responsibility, church, to take a step to give this world a chance to make him known. Every day, every Sunday, we come here. We have lots of meetings, you know, weekly meetings going on. We come here. This church, this place is where you get fed, you know, with a spiritual food. This is a place where you charge yourself. But what happens after that? What happens after that? As this River Church is a mission-oriented church, each, I believe it's not the organization itself is a mission-oriented. It's not the church. I mean, if we call it as a church, each and every individual here, seated today, they are responsible for something. There is a purpose behind it. We need to understand the vision. We need to understand the mission. We need to take up the challenge. We need to take up the responsibility in our life. How far have we taken up the step to accomplish the responsibility that God has placed in us? We come and go, we come and go. We see all these different speakers coming down and we hear this good worship music's happening and everything going on, but what kind of change are we seeing in our life? We need to take time and think about that. If there is no growth happening, if I call my, I mean, I've been blessed with this little son of mine, and he was born in 2007. He was born in 2007, and soon after he's born, I know that he's been fed by his mother. Yeah, 2 months after again, the mother feeds him. 3 months pass by, 6 months pass by, year pass by. Again, if it's the same thing happening, well, there is something wrong in it, right? There is something wrong in it. There's no growth happening. It's something similar that we need to understand. We as the children of God, we need to understand this, that there is the substantial growth that we need to understand and start growing. It's not with the words. You know, my dear friends, like, just gauge yourself, and see where you stand in the spiritual journey of yours. If you want to know God, you love Jesus and study Him and imitate Him. As I said, like, I've not been to any of these Bible colleges or any, you know, done any theological studies, but in this present generation, we can see many people so well versed. They can dig into the Bible, go anywhere they would like. They are so memorized with the verses. They are there. There's so much, you know, getting double doctorates and this and that and this and that. There is no need of such. I'm not against. Don't get me wrong, folks. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against going and learning the Word of God. I'm not against going and learning theology. It is good. It is, you know, it is like a word that you can use it whenever you would like to, if you know it. But the thing is, like, how far are we implementing it practically in our life? As I said, like, if you want to be smart and famous and so full of knowledge, then study the Bible. Weird, right? But how true it is. Simple gospel. This morning I was talking to Tom and with you, we were just sharing, actually, you know, the people need simple gospel. Every day, I mean, everyone seated here has some or the other testimonies in their life. 10 years of saved life, 20 years, 30 years of born again Christian life, you know. But where are we? Where are we? But I'm not been able to. I mean, you might have that kind of concern that I'm not been able to accomplish this responsibility that God has placed on me. For some reason, For some reason, probably I'm not that confident enough, or probably I'm not talented. Well, if the God who has created you, if He has named you, He knows everything. It's something that we need to understand, that, you know, you can't blame your church for it. You can't blame your church for it. You can't blame your church leader for not being so active in, you know, since you understand the purpose or the responsibility that you have placed. In order to discharge that responsibility, in order to take a step, you can't blame the church for it. You can't blame the church leader for it. You're getting whatever you want from here. Working style of the church is not a reason. Well, I've seen people doing it, you know, whenever you go, because I've come across, I said, like, you know, why are we sitting so quiet? I mean, let's take a step forward. Let's take a step of faith in our life. And people have all these different reasons to, you know, put blame on, you know, somewhere, some or the other thing. Not necessarily like these are the reasons, but there are some or the other things. And very good reason they give: oh, the devil is not allowing me to. Well, he's a very good person to put the blame on. For each and everything we kind of blame. I've seen people, for everything you blame the devil for not allowing you to do something. For each and everything you blame the devil for not. But let me tell you this, my dear brothers and sisters. It's not the devil. It's not the devil. I know devil is bad. I know devil is bad. But it's not the devil. It is your own self-centeredness. We need to understand this. It is your own self-centeredness that makes you keep, you know, away from doing the God's work, the responsibility that was placed on you. If, as I said, like, if you have the right to be called as a child of God, then instantly that becomes, you know, your responsibility to go out and reach the lost in this world. Wherever you are, whichever church you belong to, and whichever city you belong to, not necessarily you have to go to some remotest part of the world. You could be used. I mean, all I am saying is, like, need to understand the challenge. Do not be discouraged. Do not get yourself to a level where you start thinking that you are useless and do not have enough of talent. Oh, my loved ones. You know what God said to Moses? Moses was a worse person than us. Like, I guess, like, at least we can talk. And the word he said, it's not you, Moses. It's not you, Moses, that he was going to talk. It's me through you. Me through you. He is the potter. We are the clay. All he's wanting us to submit and surrender ourselves. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. Let me remind you this, church. We have very less time in front of us. These are the end days. These are the end times of this world. We need to understand, and we need to buckle our shoes and get out and start doing it. Or you might be saying that there are hundreds of organizations like this working amongst the remotest part of the world, reaching the lost. There are hundreds of churches doing it. But let me tell you this fact. We have only started to nip the iceberg. We have only nipped. That's all. The harsh reality is that more than 2.7 billion people still unreached with the gospel. Not heard this name even a single time. If you know this about this 1040 area, the 1040 window, it's the world, this area of the world that contains the largest population of non-Christians in the world. The area extends from 10 degrees to 40 degrees north of the equator, all the way from the Africa to China. You got India, Burma, Pakistan, Nepal, and all these places. It's one of the most unreached area of the world. What answers are we prepared to give to our Heavenly Father when He asks about the blood of these multitudes on our hands? Because you have known it. You have known it. You can't deny that you never knew about it. As I said, that this is the fact, guys. This is the fact. You can't get away from it. Today, I would like to, you know, make you so challenged that if you can surrender, commit yourself. I know that, as I said, like, God has blessed you so much. You know, He's so abundantly, He has blessed you. But beyond that, you need to take a step forward. Understand, as River Church is a mission-oriented church, I'm encouraging you in Christ. I'm challenging you in Christ that take a step in some or the other way, if you can be as a bridge of hope to these many who are perishing, slipping away into the darkness of the hell without knowing this truth. And this one day, on that beautiful shore when we stand, when our Master, He would ask that, what have you done? There should be an answer for you to be given. Over the years, when you heard that hundreds of thousands died in Rwanda, thousands swept away in Bangladesh flood, there were hundreds who died in Haiti. We all knew about it. We have come across that news. When all the churches in Afghanistan got demolished, where were we? Isn't there some responsibility in us that has been placed? At least to mediate in prayer, to pray for those precious ones, those who are perishing. If your little one comes running and asking, "Daddy, why didn't you eat?" Oh, little one, haven't you heard the news about these perishing souls with the natural calamities and war and all those things happening? I've decided to fast and pray. If you could, as a family, when was the last time as a family you sat down and you said and you made a decision that you will fast and pray for these people? When was the last time you as a family, you sat and said and made this commitment that we will live as strangers and pilgrims on this earth with sacrifice, commitment, tears and fasting, and touch the lost with our lifestyle and commitment? One 1 billion people in the land of India, and half of them never heard this name Jesus. Forget about the doctrines, as I said. Forget about the doctrines, the sanctification. We are not here to a simple gospel that has been needed there. Each and every tribes, there are more than 33 million types of gods there. Gods and goddesses. 35 million, they in a week, every year, they come to this place called, in North India, called Haridwar. They come and, you know, dip into this so-called holy river, Ganges, to get their sins washed away. Please, I mean, they hardly know the fact that it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. 35 million people every year comes into that dirty, polluted river to take a dip so that their sins could be washed away. Dear ones, there is a responsibility placed in us. There is something that has been, you know, we need to take a step of faith in our lives. God has blessed you so much. Now is the time, boldly say that, What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. God's mission is about transformation, transforming individual lives, transforming communities, and transforming the world. We need to understand that God's mission is about transformation. Let's hold on to that challenge. Let's, these coming days, let's encourage. There is only, we need to be done by 12, right? Yeah, we're running short of time. I'm not going to take any more time. I'm going to, as I said, like, let's gauge ourselves once again. As I said, like, we've been born again and been in Christian families. We have known Christ for so long time. But how far are we standing where on the responsibility that God has given us? Do take time these coming days so that you could sit down and think and, take a decision in your life. God, here am I. Here am I. All you have to do is, my dear friends, do surrender your life. I know that there are people who can't speak a word, when they come across, they're so much, nervous and thinking, or, they're not that confident. But one thing, if you can just get onto your knees like this, shed your tears, look up into that heaven, ask God, God, here am I. Here am I, Father. Do use me out and bless me. That simple words could make a big change in our life. All He's wanting is that preparedness in your heart. All He's wanting is to taking a decision that, oh, it's God, I'm going to take this step. In whatever ways I can, oh Lord, if there is nothing else in me, I could at least fast and pray for these perishing souls. The reason it just led me to say all these things, as I said, like, came to know River Church is a mission-oriented church. I know people are traveling here and there, visiting up nations. But it's not only that particular team that is going, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. Even, just take a statistics of this love city. A reality of this love area. The amount of Muslims, Islamic people, so radical for their faith. We are not even getting there. We're not even getting there. We need to understand this. The time is so crucial. It's so crucial, and it's so less in front of us. We need to take this step. I'm going to conclude this here. I'm not going to take any more time. But if, as I'm going to do this, friends, I know, I guess everyone seated here are born again, except there are people who really, I have got Neji and Jasma here, this beautiful couple. They're in the process, actually. They are trying to find the right true way and, knowing God, and hopefully, very soon I'll see them saved and, stand for God. And because each and everyone who came along today, none of them were true believers, born again Christians. They are people from Catholic background. They are people from Orthodox background. But people, they decided when God called them, they took that step. They came, and now they have decided to lead their life for Jesus, and they're doing their best for Him. They're doing their best for Him. Wherever it is, people have traveled from 70 miles and 80 miles and traveled, come across here just to worship the Lord. So it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing, guys. We need to have that kind of attitude in our life. Wherever it is, distance doesn't matter. Nation doesn't matter. Tribe doesn't matter. Language doesn't matter. If we, as I said, if we are calling ourselves the children of God, yes, We are children to one Father. One Father. We are a family. Let's join our hands and together these coming days work for the expansion of this kingdom. Let's understand the great commission that He has placed upon our hearts and take a step forward. As I'm going to conclude, I would request anyone, if anyone has been, you know, if you think that you need a prayer and if you'd like to just come down, I'm so happy to, you know, pray for you. You know, if you want to take a step in your life or rededicate yourself, that God, here am I. I would like to surrender myself. I'm nothing in my life, God, because I know Thou art the potter. I am the clay, O God. Mould me and mend me according to Your perfect will and plan, so that I may be used as an effective instrument, Father, for Your kingdom. Nothing more, nothing less in my life that I want. I could deny everything that I've gained in my life. I could count it as rubbish, trash in my life, so that I can gain Christ in my life. If any one of you would like to rededicate yourself, commit yourself, that these days, God, here am I. I will take a step of faith in my life. I'm not going to look left or right. I'm not going to look at anyone. I'm not going to blame anyone for this. It's me, myself, O Lord. Open my inner eyes, O God, Redeemer. Bless me and help me. If you, anyone would like to come down, I'd just like to pray for you guys.
You know, a number of years ago, I was at a prayer meeting of across the churches in Marlow, and some of you may have heard me say this before, but somebody gave a prophetic word, and God said to us, you know, who can I send? Who will go for me? And there was silence in the room. And I said, I will. I'll go. Lord, send me. And afterwards, a couple of folk came up to me and they said, well, of course, Tom, you know, we was all saying that in our heart. But I vocalized it. Yeah. And God has taken me to India, to Thailand, to China, and to Slough. Glory. And the challenges here are just as big, if not bigger, than actually going into India and China, where people are prepared to actually listen. You know, there are different ways that we can approach mission. You know, there are those that go. There are people like me that go and come back again. There are people that support them with their giving. And there are people that pray. And we've had some wonderful testimonies of people that have been saved in the mission field because of people praying. And I know it's difficult to come forward, but you know, our whole ethos of this church is to reach the folk of Slough. So I just want to encourage you, if you would like to stand, if you would like to say, yes Lord, here I am, use me in whichever way, then I just invite you to. And I'm going to ask Godly to pray for us as a congregation. So if you would like Him to pray for you as a congregation, that we might achieve what God has set us here to do, then can I ask you to stand?
I want to say something. I feel that what the Lord is saying is, what is in your hand? Amen. What is in your hand? All we can offer is our empty hand. Everything that the Lord has given to us, as we give it out, the Lord will give it back to us, overflowing. I just sense that, you know, the Lord said, go and heal the sick, go and preach the gospel, go and feed the poor. You know, if we can't feed the poor, we are rich, we have a home to sleep in. You know, there are people who don't have a home, they don't have a mom and dad. You know, what is in our hands? You know, the little that we have, God will multiply it back to us. That is all the Lord requires. Not much. Not much. Yeah, not much.